This is Mike Roth. Welcome to the Open Forum in the Villages podcast. In this show, we're going to talk to leaders in the community, leaders of clubs, and interesting folks who live here in the villages to give perspective of what's happening here in the villages and information that I think all villagers should have. We hope to add a new episode every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. This is Mike Roth. I'm here today with Larry Rodkin. Thanks for joining me today, Larry.
My pleasure.
Larry is our co-producer, co-founder, and overall great guy in our improvisational theater club. And we're here today to talk a little bit about the show that we're going to do on October 28th and some of the regular things that we do in improv that may be of interest to villagers. But Larry, before we begin the show, as our standard practice, we're going to do a joke. This one's especially for Evan. Larry, why are ghosts terrible liars?
I don't know, Mike. Why are ghosts terrible liars? Was that a good setup?
That was good. Yeah. That was good. Yes. Ghosts, terrible liars because you can see right through them. Okay. There's your joke, Evan. There might be more. Now,
not if we have to rely on you, but it's all right.
Well, I don't have a problem with you here. The Improvisational Theater Club, I guess I took it over from the prior leader about 3.5 years ago when he abruptly decided to go to Boston for a better job or go back to work. And we decided that we were going to make it a improvisational theater club that actually had performances. And in our current mode, we have performances about twice a year on the big stage at Rohan or, if necessary, at other auditoriums. And during the course of the year, the club is available for private events by other clubs. We've performed at Mystic Ice Cream a couple of times.
Right. We've also done for the Wisconsin Club, the Carolina Club, the Texas Club, etc.
Right. And we have a real good show coming up on September 10th for the South of 44 Club, who we've been warned is a little bit younger and a little bit hipper than some of the other clubs.
Oh, so we can do off-color stuff then?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to get bluer. And that's about as far as a preview as I want to go
that's
on
it.
That.
That's it, right. So, otherwise, they may fire us before they hear the show.
Okay. So one of the things that we've done as a club, we've decided that most of our shows are going to start with a musical number, which is going to be not a standard song, but a parody of a standard song. I think one of the best ones we've done so far is the Texas Club, where we did a parody of The Yellow Rose of Texas.
Right, and that was written by John, who's one of our
John Case
performers, right, who also plays guitar besides singing.
And if you go through the list of shows available on Open Forum in the Villages, you'll find there's a 10 or 15 minute show with John Case that I recorded a couple of months ago. Real great guy. John is also the leader of the Boomer Humor Club, meets on the second and fourth Fridays of the month.
At 7 o'clock.
At 7 p.m. at the Bacall Recreation Center. And that is an open mic kind of a night. If you want to perform, you can tell stand-up comedy jokes. You will have the opportunity to participate in scripted scenes.
And if you write something that you think is funny, they'd love to hear you.
Yeah, we'd love to add more material. But we are working on several sketches that John has written that are original, as well as attempting to reproduce some of the old-time TV, like the Carol Burnett Show, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway sketches, in a new format, maybe adapted a little bit to the villages.
Oh, so in other words, old people instead of Harvey Korman and Tim Conway.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're going to shoot me for saying that, but that's all right. We don't care because we know who we are and we're proud of it.
Right. We're not going to do what a 20-year-old would do in improv. We're going to do what a 70-year-old would do in improv. You know,
okay, Sonny, tell me all about it.
Well, you know, We did a bit in an improv that someone brought in called The Machine. And it was brought in for us as if it was a sketch for 10-year-old kids. And
Didn't work.
It didn't work. Villagers don't perform well if you ask them to get down on the floor. Then you need three people to get them off the floor. So we actually did last week a villagers version of The Machine that worked out exceptionally well. And we have a new version of our marshmallow skit, specifically designed for people who are in their 50s, 60s, or 70s.
So instead of eating the marshmallow, they'll gum it.
They keep it in their mouth.
I see. Okay.
It's going to be very funny. We practiced that one last week, too. That was a interesting skit. This week, they don't know it yet, but I brought bags of marshmallows for each player.
And for those of us who have sugar problems.
Those of us who are diabetic can't play in the game.
Oh.
Or there's no swallowing. Okay, for whatever that means. Larry, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved with the Improvisational Theater Club?
Well, I had actually done some humor and some improv back when I was in college 100 years ago. And when I saw an advertisement in the newspaper or an article in the newspaper about it, I decided to go on and give it a shot. And the people who were in charge, which was before you were in charge, Mike, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I get that, said, "You're not that good, Larry, so don't bother coming back." And I said, okay. So I went to the senior one the following week, and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I want to see who the experts are since you said I'm not that good." And I saw them. 2 weeks later, I was in the best group because the people that were the best weren't the best. Maybe I had an off night that night. But as somebody once said, even the people that do Saturday Night Live do have off nights.
Right.
And I've seen people, they say this is true on Broadway. You go out and you do a show, and sometimes they laugh at a certain time. The next time, the laughter is not quite as strong the same place. And was it the audience or was it the way you delivered it? And last month, I went to Southern Illinois University, my alma mater, and talked to them about things that were going on. And it's amazing how improv has taken over a lot of the theaters at the university level.
Yes, and?
It was unfortunate. It was during break. I couldn't see them, but the people that were in charge said, "Oh, yeah, it's the latest thing." And I said, "The latest thing? Well, okay. But remember, Saturday Night Live has been around for 40 years, so it's not like it was just something that happened yesterday."
And improv was invented during the Depression.
Really? No, I didn't know that. And why was it? I mean, is that a straight line that you're setting me up
for? No. Oh. That is really true. There was a lady who was funded by the Roosevelt administration for a new form of theater, and she invented improv. And there's a couple of books about her.
Oh, all right. I'll have to look that up. I did not. You see, what you can learn, ladies and gentlemen, by just listening to Mike.
Well, sometimes I have good things to say. So one of the things that we've done in the improvisational theater, we meet the first four Mondays at Rohan from 6:30 to 8:20, and every session is open to new improvers. So in a way, we're calling the group Improv for Everybody. And what that means is we're always going to begin with a short opening exercise, a few improv rules, and then a few improv games that anybody can learn as long as they have a little bit of common sense and a little bit of memory.
Ah, common sense and memory.
Oh.
Good luck. This is the Villages.
Okay, so we just let out 75% of the people.
But for the other 25%, there's an opportunity that you too can become a star.
Yes, and it's not hard. No scripts.
Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be in it.
Right. No scripts to learn. No hideous rehearsal schedule. And best of all, no auditions.
And no costumes. I mean, the costumes are a shirt and black slacks.
Yeah, a red shirt with a name badge, black slacks. That's the costume. Works out very well.
Oh, yeah.
We did a skit in the Bohemian Spotlight Cafe on Saturday night. Larry, you weren't there, so
I was in beautiful Carbondale, Illinois. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But, yeah. But anyway, we did a improv routine that was based on, loosely, on the old spaghetti western by Sergio Leone, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They had about 200 people up at the Paradise, which was an extremely large audience for them.
And when you finished, how many people were still in the audience?
About 250.
Oh, okay.
About 50 people came in. They heard it was so good. And we had Debbie Wiley doing good advice, and bad advice was coming from Rick Farrar, and Christine Sigel gave ugly advice. The skit ended on a high point where Christine shot someone. But it was very funny. The audience loved it. The audience was alive that night. I mean, I asked for a question from the audience and I got one. It was wonderful.
I've been there before when you ask the audience questions and you ask them their opinion. And this is what you hear. Oh, no, they weren't snoring. They just said you heard nothing.
I guess I forgot to tell them to turn up the volume on their hearing aids before we started.
You know, our shows, whether it's the Bohemian Cafe, as you mentioned, or a private club or organization, or the big shows that we do in Rohan, a lot of what we do is audience participation. And we want them to get involved because that's the fun. If you've seen the TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? They do take questions and sometimes even answers from the members of the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it fun.
Right. We do a scene called Scenes from a Hat, where we ask audiences for unusual, awkward situations that they'd like the actors to say something about. Whether it's
things you can say about your new pair of shoes that you can't say about your partner.
Or characters in Walt Disney's Snow White that didn't make the cut.
So you get a chance to use your imagination, and the questions that come from the audience, we have no idea where they're coming from, where they're going. Some of them are a little bit risque, and so we can't use them. So we tell them ahead of time, you know, use common sense. But then we remember we're in the Villages.
Right. And then this is one of those places that handwriting counts, because I'm the guy up front that's taking the card and has to read it live in front of the audience.
I didn't realize there were that many doctors in the audiences of our shows.
Yeah, all the cards look like, not all of them, but 20% look like they were written by a doctor as a prescription, and I can't read a word on the card. I just throw it over the side. Might be a good line to use, but you can't use a line you can't read.
Yeah, please print slowly, carefully.
And if you don't have a pen, we actually will bring extra pens to a show, and we actually bring blank 3x5 cards. Now, naturally, these are trick cards that whatever you write automatically erases and puts down what we want it to see.
Exactly, exactly. Things that we stole from the week before.
Well, things that worked in other shows.
Yeah, people say to us, improv, you meet every week and you rehearse. How do you rehearse improvisation? And the answer is, it's not that we rehearse specific things, it's how a program comes together.
Right. You have a scene, and it's got a backbone or a routine. Actors need to know in improv what they're supposed to do. And then the place that they are comes from the audience. But they know the framework of the scene, because we want the scenes to be over in 3 or 4 minutes. If they don't know what the framework is, it can get very confusing for the audience and for the actors.
Yeah, that's the reason why we ask for participation. One of the skits we do, which is called My Movie, My Movie, My Movie, we say to them, we need, and don't give us Z and Q, because everybody says, we'll give them Z and Q, because those will be difficult letters. We know those. Give us something else, and sometimes they'll say X and W.
Yeah.
T and R. And the answer is fine. It doesn't matter what to. And that's the basis for what the actors.
I'm going to come up for a movie title.
Right.
And if the letters are extremely difficult, the choices the actors have are
limitless. Are limited.
Limited.
And I made one comment once when I was doing a warm-up. I said, the funnier things that you can give us, the funnier the show. You don't give us funny things, the show isn't funny, and then we blame you, the audience.
Right. There was one show. We typically bring at least 10 players to a show to do a 60-minute show, and in the large theaters, we'll use up to 16 players to do a 90-minute show. So we brought 10 players to this one club, and a couple of our players' spouses and some neighbors came along. So we brought about, I don't know, 15, 16 people. We had more players on our side than there were club members in the audience.
Right.
We did the show, but it would have been better with more people in the room.
Yeah, comedy is a very, very subjective thing. And it works this way, at least from my perspective. The bigger the audience, the funnier it's going to be. Because if 20% of the audience gets a line and you only have 10 people in the audience, only 2 people are laughing. You take that same thing and you have 150 in there, you got a lot more people laughing. And laughter is contagious.
Right. And that's what we are attempting to do, is make people laugh. And have fun. And we have fun in a lot of different ways. And there are a lot of different improv games that we play. And each one of our players has to know all of the improv games. That way we can accommodate schedule changes at the last minute by our own players who can't make a show. So on the 28th of October, our plan is to have a big show at Rohan. The tickets are available online now. And
that's a Friday night.
It's a Friday night, is it?
Yes, okay. It is.
That's a good night of the week for a show.
Yeah, because Saturday I'm in Orlando doing something else. So,
okay,
yes.
And the show is going to start at 6 p.m. and it's going to run till 7:30 without an intermission. You can take a potty break if you need in the middle. Just get up and walk out. But the show is going to run continuously. We're going to have probably 15 or 16 different improvisational scenes, which at that point in time we feel are the funniest and best scenes that we have available.
And the funniest thing about this is it's up to the audience to bring their own liquid refreshment. And depending on what liquid refreshment, the more they drink, the funnier we are.
That's right. The liquid refreshment can be a variation of grape juice, which is an adult beverage, or it can be a variation of hops and barley. But all of those drinks are just fine as long as you bring your own. And you can bring your own snacks. We'll be letting people in about 20 to 30 minutes before showtime and about 10 or 15 minutes before the show begins. We have a warm-up act that comes out to warm up the audience. And he's a real ham. You hand him a microphone, you never know what he's going to say.
Right, that's Larry? Right. That's right. You have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. Somebody once said to me, why do you enjoy improv? And I said, because I don't have to rehearse. I don't have to have a script in my head. It's whatever comes off the top of my head. And sometimes I have to stop and think, I better not say this.
Oh. Well, you're censoring it. Some of our people don't censor it. But the overall effect is magnetic. We've had people come to every one of our shows. We've had reviews written, and people have loved the show. And
oh, those are the ones you weren't in, right?
I'm sorry. I've been in every show.
And people still came back.
We have a perspective improver who's going to has promised to do a recap of the first musical parody number that we ever did back in 2018 for a club. And as soon as we finished that show, COVID set in and all the other shows 18, 19 were canceled and probably into 20. Anyway, he's promised to come back and update the parody songs, and it should be an extremely funny number. We also can promise that no audience member is going to be hit with Cheese Whiz.
I know the answer to this, so I'm just going to say, oh, what do you mean by that, Mike? Was that a good straight line?
Yes, yes. While we're at the Wisconsin Club, instead of using just regulation whipped cream in one of our skits, we used Cheese Whiz.
Because of Wisconsin.
It was cheese, yes. That seemed like a great idea. It was funny as heck, but the cleanup.
In rehearsal was great, but the cleanup.
The cleanup was too much, so we're going back to whipped cream, marshmallows, and fun.
That was the show where my neighbor, who is from Wisconsin, I should clarify this. I was born in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Yes, there is an Oshkosh. Anyway, my neighbor across the street had one of those cheese heads made out of foam rubber, and I borrowed it. And when I walked in to do the warm-up, the person in charge said, I can't believe you went out and got one of those cheese heads just for us. Well, thank goodness my neighbor had it. So you steal the rest and create the best, or something like that.
Well, the shows are funny. People enjoy them. Tickets are on sale now. There are still a lot of good seats available, and you can get them on. Now I have to look it up, Larry.
While you look it up, I should explain, too, that as a person who does the warm-up, part of my job is to walk around the audience and find out where the good snacks are, because I come back and I eat the shrimp at one place and guacamole somewhere else, chocolate chip cookies, etc. I do not eat before I do the show because there's just so much good stuff there for me to enjoy throughout the evening. So now, Mike, how can we get tickets for the show?
This URL that I'm going to give you is to use online. I'm not going to put it into a email because Google tends to suppress these. The address to go to get tickets is tinyurl.com/improv10282022. The date of the show. How about that?
How clever is that?
Yes. And that way you can get the best seats. Some of those are available. We call those premier seats. And the rest of the seats are at round tables of six people. So there's no one going to be blocking the front part of your table. We have about 200 seats in the room. And hopefully it's going to be a phenomenal show. There's a brand new sound mixer at Rohan that will work with our sound equipment. In our world, we use a over-the-ear microphone for each player so that the audience can hear what they're saying.
What?
We want them to hear what they're saying. So we spent a lot of our money for that. And before we go, we should tell our listeners what we do with the money that we raise.
Funny you should mention, well, I don't know if it's funny, but you mentioned that last year in June, I guess, May or June, We gave three scholarships to graduating seniors from the Villages High School who had an interest in acting or theater or improv.
Performing arts.
Right. And we were very, very happy to be able to donate that. Now, that was given in memory of David Wiley, who was the son of Debbie and Dan Wiley, and he was also a member of our crew and participated in many shows.
He participated in at least two shows on stage. He was a great performer. He was a extremely mentally agile guy who would volunteer for anything, and he had fun doing it. We had fun watching him, and when he unfortunately passed away early, we decided that we would give one scholarship. And then as time went on last year, we had full houses at our show, so we had enough money in the treasury to give three scholarships away. And hopefully that'll happen again this year.
Certainly hope so. And somebody asked me, where do the students go? I know one going to Santa Fe College in Gainesville. I think one was going to the University of Florida in Gainesville, and I don't remember where the third one was going. But the idea is you don't have to be in. I think one of them was going out of state. So it didn't matter to us where you went because you had to submit a little history of yourself, an application. Right. They did it. We went through and read them. And ironically, Debbie Wiley, you and I were the judges who went through this. And I think of the ones that submitted, I think we almost all of us agreed at least on two of the three.
Right, right. There are only 10 applicants. The sponsorships are for high school students at the Villages Charter High School. And there were 10 applicants. And two, we had a unanimous agreement on that this person should be one of the winners. And the third one had 2 out of 3 votes. So that was the winner. Well, Larry, you have any other comments that you want to tell our listeners about?
Just bring good food and good drink because I want to be able to enjoy the warm-up.
Well, it's a good thing the rest of the cast is backstage during the warm-up.
Oh, for sure.
But Larry is collecting the cards with the lines that you'd like to hear in the show. And if you fill out the cards with good lines, the show will be absolutely hilariously funny.
And if you don't give us the good stuff, it's your fault.
Great. Thanks for coming with us today, Larry. We'll look forward to seeing all of you at our show on the 28th of October. All won't work since we only have 200 seats, but
they can sit on somebody's lap.
If 400 people show up,
sure,
we'll have to do another
show
another day.
We'll squeeze them in.
Okay. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Remember, our next episode will air live next Friday at 9 a.m., or should I say pre-recorded, but that's when it'll be released on our regular subscriptions. Bonus subscribers can get early access to episodes. Should you want to become a sponsor of the show, contact me at mikeroth@rothvoice.com. If you know someone that you think should be on the show, send me an email at mike@rothvoice.com. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. The content of the show is copyright by Roth Voice 2022, all rights reserved.